Youth ministry can be difficult, messy, and even awkward at times. This podcast is to help you embrace those moments better. Whether you're full-time, part-time, volunteer, or even a parent, we want to give practical tips to help unpack the weird and fringe moments dealing with youth. And now, here are your hosts for Embrace the Awkward Podcast, DJ and Kyle.
Welcome to episode 32 of the Embrace the Awkward Podcast, where we have one goal in mind, and that is to help you handle awkward better. Today, I'm here with Kyle again, of course, as always. Kyle, how's it going?
Good.
I've got some questions for you.
Okay.
I saw these on TikTok. These came across, just some weird questions.
Oh, so and I want you scholars to, have
wrote, yes, the true scholars. These yes.
These questions.
So question number one, if I weigh 99 pounds and I eat a pound of nachos, am I 1% nacho?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say for a brief time, you are 1% nacho.
Okay. Does the weight change when you like crunch it up? I don't know. Number two.
I actually don't know that.
It seems like it would kind of, if you drop soap on the floor, is the floor clean or is the soap dirty?
Ooh.
Does it depend on if the soap is wet?
Yeah, I don't think the soap can get dirty.
Okay.
The outside of the soap can get dirty, but the soap itself is not dirty.
Okay. There's a sermon in there somewhere.
Right.
Which orange came first, the color or the fruit?
Ooh. I would say, because I'm a creationist and believe God created the earth, I would say the orange came first, just like the animals came first before their names.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. So those are all I've got for
those
you.
Those are good questions.
Today. Yeah, I've never thought about those. I'm thinking about using those in a game
there you go.
Soon. I think that might be it. Those are some appropriate
questions.
It's
called the
questions.
Awkward pause game because you're thinking about, I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, right. So we've got something really cool that we're going to talk about for the next couple episodes here. I'm excited about it because I don't have a lot of experience in this area. Kyle, what are we talking about for the next couple episodes?
Mission trips.
Oh, so are we going to talk about mission trip relationship? I have a great
mission trip relationship.
I have a great mission trip relationship
story.
You
found a relationship.
Oh, this is a dream. I can't wait to tell this story. It's one of the most awkward things that's ever happened to me in my whole life. And it doesn't involve my relationship, but it's so awkward. I can't believe I forgot about this. Oh my God.
Do you want to say it now or do you want to say it at the end of the episode?
I don't know. Is there a better point to like put this in? Should we do it right now?
Yeah, because I have no idea what the story is.
We didn't plan this at all.
Well, let's go ahead.
So I was on a mission trip in, let's see, 7th, 8th grade. It was like 7 through 12 on a mission trip. We went to Fort Collins, Colorado, and we did a lot of prayer walking on the Colorado State campus and did some service stuff there. We had two days. We went skiing, really fun trip. But there were some of my friends with me, so all of the guys stayed in one room at this church, and all the girls stayed in another room at this church, and there was a couple that was dating, and the guy was in my room, of course, and so he ran out of minutes on his phone to text his girlfriend.
Oh, no.
So he was like, hey, can I borrow your phone for just a minute to text her? And I said, yeah, sure, that's fine. So we borrowed my phone, and He made the mistake of not deleting his messages after they were done.
No.
And so I just opened my phone and they were there.
You just happened to find it.
And so what I found was a message that was like, hey, I gotta go. Stupid DJ wants his phone back. And I was like trash talking me for wanting my phone back to go to sleep. And so I was like, okay, at this point I have to read if they were talking, like, this is just dumb that he's trash-talking me. So I scroll up and they're in this conversation about, hey, I can't believe we had our first kiss last night.
Oh,
that's so
no.
awesome.
This and, is on a mission trip?
Yes. And so then one of them goes, I don't remember if it was the guy or the girl. He goes, what do you say we meet at the water fountain tonight at 3 a.m. and kiss again? And she goes,
this is on your phone?
Yes. And she goes, maybe this time we kiss for 4 seconds.
Oh,
and I'm just like, I'm like, oh, I'm reading this on my phone. This is like so uncomfortable. And I was the whole rest of the trip, I was just completely weirded out. And oh man, so it was very weird, very awkward. Yeah, ruined. I don't know that it ruined the trip for me, but I felt really, really weird about it.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. When we're talking about mission trips, there are things that happen that shouldn't happen on a mission trip. There's
right.
always some kind of story and all that. That happens on a mission trip. Those two particular people probably were focused as they would be.
Right.
But they now have a story. Who knows? They might now be a famous pastor couple that got married and is ministering to thousands of people.
Let's go
every
with that.
Weekend.
Let's go with that.
I don't know where they are. But yeah, I've gone on relationships both as a student.
You've gone on relationships as a student?
Well, sorry. I've gone on mission trips and both in a relationship and outside of a relationship.
Okay.
My wife now, okay, we were dating for exactly 1 month before we went on a mission trip together.
Okay.
No one knew we were dating. We secretly hid it just for fun, all right? And so so we went to Northern Ireland at the time in college.
Wow.
And we were dating at the time, but no one knew it. We haven't told our friends yet. It was still kind of talking phase, if
right.
you will.
Yeah. Did you get zumped at any point?
No. Okay. Yes. But what's interesting is halfway through the trip, I had a guy, who, a good friend of mine, come up to me, and Katie had a good girlfriend come up to her and say, hey, I think Kyle really likes you, or I think Katie is really into you. And I go, really? And we all played dumb. And by the end of the trip, like, people were saying, you should get together. So at the end of the trip, the last day, just before we get on a plane, before we go home, we told people that we are actually dating.
Wow. Big news. Yeah. Wow.
So that was fun. That has nothing to do with youth ministry and mission trips. But we want to take some time. And this is a multiple episode kind of series.
Right.
Dealing with mission trips. Because here's why. I think particularly short-term mission trips are one of the most valuable opportunities you can have or provide to grow your students' faith.
Okay. Why?
There is nothing that the youth ministry can do, okay, outside the Holy Spirit, okay,
right.
That's a given.
Sure.
Program-wise, event-wise, sermon-wise, teaching-wise, small group-wise, curriculum-wise, that has enough spiritual growth aspects to it than a missions trip. I have gone on, I think it's 11 mission trips. I've led 5 of them the 11, just because there is nothing else I do that grows a person's faith, particularly a student's, than other than mission trips. And when I say short-term mission trips, I'm talking about 7, 10 days, 2 weeks. You know, there's mission trips that are 2 months. There's mission trips that are 10 months or mm-hmm. a year-long thing. I'm specifically talking about short-term mission trips to like 7 to 10 days. And this could be local, like right in your own city. This could be domestic, like going to another city inside the United States, or this could be foreign. Flying to Northern Ireland, I've been to Nicaragua, Canada, all that kind of stuff.
Right. I mean, both Kyle and I's denomination have like a denominational like mission organization. Yeah. And so if you're looking for a way to maybe get into starting to do something like this, you haven't done it before, a great place to start might be something like that. See if your denomination has something like that, or, you know.
Or you can just Google there. I bet there's hundreds of missions organizations.
Leader Trek has, in fact, Leader Trek has trips that are COVID designed for the world. And I've looked at those. They seem pretty cool.
Yeah. I've never been on a Leader Trek one, but I've been on multiple. I probably use 3 or 4 different missions organizations.
Sure.
On that.
So for the next 2 episodes, this episode and next episode, we're going to look at benefits, the upside of doing short-term missions. And the next episode, we're going to turn it around. And there are also some kind of negative effects as well. Not negative effects, but there's a downside.
Well, yeah, there's a downside. And you need to hear both.
Right. Yes, definitely, for sure. So that's what the next 2 episodes are going to be about. So if you're listening to this episode after 33 has come out, make sure you listen to that. That'll come out next week, so make sure you check that out. But today we're talking about the upside of mission trips. I have never led a mission trip. I have yet to do that. I've been on 1 or 2.
Wait, 1 or 2. Did you forget?
1 or 2. I don't know. I've done a lot of service little things in my community, but I don't know that I've gone on another trip that I can remember off the top of my head. That I've stayed. That's false. I've done 2 for sure.
Okay, there we go.
So I should say that.
And you know, service projects are good and important, and I'm not downplaying that. I don't view missions trips as service projects unless you experience a different culture in some way. I think that's a crucial aspect to the mission trip. And after we go over the benefits and the downside of mission trips, we'll go over scheduling and some very practical hints on, you can learn from my mistakes on what to avoid in getting ready for a mission trip. So depending on the type of year you're listening to this episode, you really need to think about, okay, think a year out. If you want to go on a mission trip, you need to start planning a year out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So wherever that is, that's the key. So if you're listening to late spring you're listening to this episode and you want to go 2 months out and go to on a mission trip in June, yeah, that's probably not going to happen, or it's not going to go very well.
Right. And especially if you are paying for this mission trip, you probably need to be thinking more than a year out. About, right. I mean, if you're going overseas on a mission trip, you're paying for plane tickets and all of the things.
Yep.
You'd probably need more than a year's worth of fundraising to be able to make that happen.
Now, I've been in ministry for quite some time now, and I've been on 11 mission trips. I didn't start going on a yearly mission trip till about 8 years ago, and it's okay. Gone on a yearly mission trip every year, in one way or the other. The only year that I haven't was 2020,
right,
when we skipped because we were 2 days out from going to Costa Rica on a mission trip. I was bringing 36 people to Costa Rica 2 days before we fly out. COVID hit, they shut down the borders, and awesome. Now we had to wait in a whole year, so we're going 2021 spring break,
wow,
to Costa Rica.
Awesome.
That's a whole nother episode.
Oh, yeah, seriously, I'm sure the battles with that. I mean, a COVID mission trip might be a whole, right. I mean, that's a crazy.
You got seniors who graduated. Are they going to go in again? I mean, yeah.
Right,
whole
crazy.
Mess.
And let's even think about the funding. Anyway,
yeah.
So let's talk about some of these benefits here that we've, this upside of doing short-term mission trips. You kind of already shared about, you know, the greatest spiritual impact, but talk a little bit more about that. Why is there such a great impact spiritually on students doing short-term missions?
Yeah, so when you go on a missions trip, you are thrust into an opportunity where they have to depend on God, where they have to learn about God, where they have to depend on the team, where they take away distractions. This is why I love going on mission trips that are intentionally in a different culture than what you currently have. Mm. So if you are more rural youth ministry, try to go to an inner city. I was in a more rural city when I was a youth pastor in South Dakota, and I went to Denver. Even though it was only 6 hours away, it was right. Totally different experience
sure.
In that. So if you're in an urban setting or a suburb setting, try to go in a rural setting or more of a poverty-stricken setting. There are great mission trips to Native American reservations or cities all around. And it's because they can see God at work.
Mm-hmm.
They can see where God is already at work and that God was working there before they even arrived.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tell every trip, you're not bringing Jesus down with your suitcase. Okay.
Right.
Jesus is already there. You're joining in him where he's already at work.
Sure.
And then I see them have a whole new worldview. I see them experience things that they never thought of. I see them wrestling with things that they didn't have to deal with back at home. I see them eliminating distractions. It's all a great opportunity for them to grow their faith.
Sure. So when you come back, do you see kind of an increase in passion for evangelism? Or, I mean, do you see kids on fire with a whole new lens of evangelism?
Oh, absolutely. I would say every mission trip we've gone on, there is a direct uptick in passion, youth group involvement, evangelism, even discipleship. Like, hey, we need to do something. In multiple youth ministries that I've been a part of, after a mission trip was the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will, to start a student leadership team. Or to start a new, renewed passion on bringing your friends to Jesus, or serving projects, cool. Starting a serving team. And it's just because they've felt that glow that cannot be duplicated on a weekly basis. Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't preach about mission trips. I'm not saying you're doing a terrible job serving every weekday. But if your youth ministry is not doing missions trips, all right, in the first 3 years of ministry, seriously consider about it because there's nothing better you can do. So we've done sermon series about missions, but unless you go on a short-term mission trip, you're missing out on this opportunity that you cannot duplicate.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about just a couple episodes ago the importance and power of a great illustration, a hands-on illustration, things that they're doing with their hands. You're telling me that if they go on a mission trip, that's a powerful illustration. I mean,
right.
Is that what you're saying?
They become a living sermon,
right?
If you will, because when they come back, they're now sharing their experience to their family and friends, the people who supported them on support letters, their social media, on all this, and their pictures. Our social media is full of pictures, actually, I should say, of what they did down there. There's so much more interaction now that social media has happened, that this wave of influence has way more spread out than it was before social media.
Yeah. So I would imagine that often with mission trips and things like this, there have probably been times when people's call into missions or ministry is a little confirmed or cemented. Have you seen that?
Have I seen that? Absolutely. Yeah. What's interesting is I'm all about calling. Now, I truly believe that most people calling doesn't mean their careers. I think calling and careers are totally separate in a lot of situations. For me, however, my calling is to impact and inspire and equip teenagers. It happens to match my career as being a youth pastor.
Okay.
But that's not always the case. Some people, in fact, I've seen a lot of students and even adult leaders have a renewed call for something that they've always thought about but never have been brave enough to make that decision. And basically that means is, hey, I felt that I should be serving in the student ministry world, and so now they're moving into it. Or
right.
I felt called to be a missionary. Or I felt called – I've known people who have changed their majors in college just because of what they experienced on a mission trip. Or students who says, you know what, I want to be a businessman, but now I want to run a hotel for – I had a student who did this. We went to a mission trip to Denver, actually, and he wanted to buy his own hotel and only have it for people who are struggling.
Whoa.
Off the street.
Wow.
But it's a hotel with all the fancy givings, but it's for not homeless people, but close to it.
Wow.
Cool. And he's working with an organization on Skid Row right now.
Wow.
But so it's awesome. I don't think he owns a hotel at right. this time, but maybe that's, you know, down yeah. in the future. But it's people are feeling their call because they go see the world and they see how God actually works. Sometimes when you're in a church and you go day to day and week to week and you see the same thing, you sometimes forget that God is at work all around the world, and you get complacent to it. Mm-hmm. And mission trips remove that.
Yeah. So something that was really strange to me when I went on this mission trip, even just to Colorado, like you said, just a couple hours away, but as a safe, small-town Oklahoma boy, I was walking around on the CSU campus, and they had this is going to be a weird thing, but they had like medical marijuana in vending machines.
CSU is... Colorado State.
Yeah. Okay. And they had medical marijuana and vending machines. And you could see all
world
the people.
World changing,
who,
right?
Yeah. And like, to me, I was just like, what? Like,
this is crazy.
Oh my gosh. And so it's not that it was even that far. I mean, we basically only barely left the Bible Belt.
Right.
I mean, only barely.
And that was a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
And now Oklahoma has medical marijuana laws.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
the world has changed.
Yeah. And so it just even seeing something like that widened my view of the world, completely. I'm assuming that's a similar thing. After 11 mission trips, you've gone on as a student and a leader, and you've taken students through this.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's a huge benefit to mission trips.
I think that's a benefit that is – probably the most given one is, especially if you're intentional on where you go and you prepare them. I always tell the students, look, for mission trips, you get what you put into it. If you go there and you don't experience it because you're afraid or you're scared or you don't like this food or you don't want to talk to this person or you focus all about your needs and your wants, you're not going to get much out of the mission trip. It's a waste. You shouldn't go.
Yeah.
If you are going and the more open you are and the more you are adventurous, I guarantee you have a much bigger impact on you and on the trip itself. And that's really what I train. I do all kinds of team leading training opportunities leading up to it. Like we meet once a month leading up to the trip, all to prepare them so their worlds can be widened, so they can see
sure.
the world differently, because when someone sees the world differently, they're willing to change it. Mm. And that starts with seeing the world as Jesus sees it. And so that's really what a mission trip can do, is it can totally make you see the world differently and see the world as Jesus sees it.
Yeah.
So that's where we need to go to is, okay, preparing your team to widen their worldview. And it's something you just cannot duplicate at home.
Yeah. That's true. So on kind of the leadership side of things, which we'll get into more of the tips and tricks and things like this later.
Okay.
But do you get anything out of this as the youth pastor? I mean, you don't just empty yourself and then not get anything out of a mission trip, right?
So here's, and this is not trying to, this is a benefit, but we need to be kind of clarified. It is exhausting and one of the hardest things you do as youth leader to leading a youth ministry. as leading a youth ministry trip to like short-term missions. It's difficult, but it also develops you as a leader. One of the benefits that is, I didn't realize until probably halfway through my mission trip leading experiences, is I became a better leader because of my mission trips that I was leading on. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different experience going on a mission trip as a student and leading one, because there is never a time where you're not responsible for your team's safety, spiritual growth, fun factors, communication, everything. And so it puts a lot of pressure on you, and you can bend to that pressure, crumble, or you can step up.
Right.
And so this is where I've had a lot of my leadership development, and where I've learned a lot of tips and tricks in handling groups, in communicating to a wide variety of people and who have a wide variety of interests, and leadership development, training the students and the adult leaders on how to lead better on a mission trip.
Sure.
So it has developed me as a leader. And again, it's one of those things that you can't really do it unless you experience it.
Yeah.
So this, we still need to go to conferences, still need to read leadership books, listen to podcasts to improve your leadership skills. But going on a mission trip puts all those things into practice.
Right. So talk about a little bit about like you obviously don't, when you take a group of 36 people, you obviously just don't go as yourself. You take some leaders with you, maybe some parents, you know, some different. So does it also do the same kind of thing for them? I mean, are they being developed as leaders? Are your leaders getting anything out of it as well? Are they just chaperoning kids while they build houses and stuff?
Well, I think if your adult leaders come back and not changed and they had a terrible time, then you didn't really empower them or equip them to lead better.
Yeah.
Here's one of the benefits that most people don't realize on going on short-term mission trips. It actually helps recruiting or building your adult leaders team.
Okay.
I always encourage parents to go on mission trips, especially if I need more leaders and all that. And we'll talk about ratios. But having a parent who's not involved in youth ministry come on a mission trip, see their student grow, inspires them to grow, and I guarantee you it has been a huge recruiting tool.
Sure.
A lot of adult leaders are still adult leaders in my youth ministry to this day because they experienced a mission trip, loved it, fell in love with the student ministry because they thought they would be weird or uncool or they wouldn't get it. But they're, of course, beloved by teenagers.
Right, yeah.
Because just showing up, you could be beloved by teenagers.
Right, exactly.
It's one of the benefits of youth ministry.
Right.
But going on a mission trip, you're now doing ministry alongside of them. You have a shared experience. So when you come back home, you want to feed that momentum. And if you're really good at momentum building, you say, well, hey, I need a small group leader every Wednesday night.
Right.
These are some of the girls or some of the guys that you minister to on Mexico or Vancouver or wherever you went.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a big thing to build your student ministry or your adult leader ministry team.
Right. And so you started to get into this a little bit. This is my last question for you for this episode.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's just a really huge momentum builder. I mean, spiritually, in involvement, like in terms of parent buy-in and students, and it sounds like there's a huge, just huge momentum that's like 3D. I mean, that has multiple facets to it.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm just hyping up mission trips, and I am.
Right.
All right, because I'm a big proponent of that. Now, our next episode will say, here's why you should not do mission trips, like some downside. So there is some downside. So this is all positive episode.
Right, okay? Yeah.
So I'm not outside of reality.
Right, okay.
But here's the thing. Just like a camp or maybe a youth conference or whatnot that builds momentum, this momentum that you get from a short-term mission trip seems to be more powerful and lasts longer than any camp or sermon does. Mm. I don't know why. I wish I could tell you exactly. I have some theories. But what I've noticed is after a mission trip, if you are intentional, and I always have a recap party afterwards, I take pictures, I video, we do a recap video. I always have a tired night dedicated to stories and asking questions after the mission trip because that's helped this. But it builds momentum. Like I said earlier, it started a student leadership team for two separate youth ministries I've been involved in because of the mission trip. Wow. We have a student Sunday. Usually I do, after a mission trip, I do a student Sunday or a youth Sunday at a church service on Sunday mornings, big church. And it gets other people excited for mission trips. We have a chance to grow the youth ministry because now they're full of passion, excitement. And if you can channel that passion, excitement in the right way,
right,
then it grows youth ministries. Hey, let's get going. Let's invite these friends. Or, hey, let's do some service projects. And this momentum is going not because you did anything specifically, but you just simply create an environment where growth can happen. And like Miracle Grow was thrown on this.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're riding the wave rather than pulling the horse, right, if you will. Yeah. It's a weird metaphor.
It works though.
And that's where really what needs to happen for mission trips is you come back change, your team comes back change, and then it leads to more change.
Yeah.
And that's where short-term mission trips is such a valuable time. With this COVID and this pandemic, it's definitely a weird kind of time, but I do think we'll come back to some normalcy when it comes to trips and events. And I think people are going to be spending money on vacation times and the money they saved up or didn't spend on it. All of a sudden now, let's go do those experiences that we couldn't do before.
Right.
So let's go somewhere. And if you are thinking ahead, I would seriously think ahead and doing a mission trip in late 2021 or at least in 2022 as a huge momentum builder for your youth ministry.
Yeah. Missions is a crucial part of, you know, there's the very stereotypical verse, go and make disciples, but it's so true. And it's essential to, not just essential to an experience in the life of the church, and what we are called to as Christians, but it's essential to a student's upbringing their faith into your youth ministry. It really can be an incredible momentum builder. It can develop you as a leader, your leaders, your parent. I mean, all of the facets, all of the things. It is just an awesome thing for your ministry if done right. And that's what we want to do, is help you handle the awkward parts of it. Cause it is, there are some things that get tricky, that get difficult.
We'll do an entire episode of just some funny stories and failures that right. we've had as experiencing youth ministry and going on short-term mission trips.
Right.
I would also love if you follow us on at the ETA podcast, I would love to know some questions. What do you want to know about mission trips, short-term mission trips?
Because
we want to take an entire episode to answer your questions and get some practical hints and tips on how best to do mission trips.
Right, or even if you just have a hilarious story from... There's always great stories from mission trips. So if you have a hilarious story, you can send that to us as well. We would love to... We won't tell it as our story. We would love to tell your story on our podcast. So, hey, thanks so much for tuning in today. Make sure you listen to the episodes that are going to come soon after this, because there's just going to be a lot of more stuff, great stuff about mission trips and how essential and awkward and good and bad and all of the things. And we want you to be a part of it. So thanks so much for tuning in today. And thanks for being our friend. We'll see you next time.